Hi there. Welcome to another episode of the Customer-Led Groove Show, where we discuss and share the best practices and the latest trends in customer marketing, advocacy, and customer-led growth. Today's episode is brought to you by BASE, a pioneer in B2B marketing and the industry's first CLG ecosystem for customer-led marketers, sales, and product professionals. Okay, let's welcome the CLG team and today's guests.
Hi there, Scott Wilder here, and welcome to another episode of Customer-Led Groove, sponsored by BASE. Today, we're with Joe Kevins, and Joe, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Scott. Always a pleasure chatting with you.
So it's interesting. I'm going to ask Joe a little bit about what he does today first, and then I'm going to tell you how I discovered Joe and all this great stuff he's talking about on the internet. Go ahead, Joe. Tell us a little bit about what your journey and what you do today.
My journey here and what we're really talking about today is customer reviews and customer review sites. That journey goes back to about 2012. That was my first job in B2B SaaS. And I was at a company called Eloqua. It's now part of Oracle, but they were a pretty well-oiled marketing machine by that point. I joined, there were maybe 200 people, and within a year got up to about 400 pre-acquisition. And at the time, I started as a BDR, inbound BDR focused. So I was speaking to a lot of prospects who are on that cusp of going from considering to buying and at least into a sales cycle. And so I would see many leads. And what really stood out to me at the time, and it still holds today for the most part, it was either leads that looked at a Gartner Magic Quadrant or leads that were looking at a software review site. At the time, it was actually software advice, which would pre-qualify leads and send them to you. So for me, that was the eye opener where, you know, it was of all the things a vendor could say, be it sales or marketing, ultimately the buyers really seem to be compelled by what the trusted third parties were saying. And that still today is analysts and review sites, kind of a mix of those amongst some others. That's always been the driving force with, I guess, how I approach marketing as well. Just thinking about what can we do to capture that customer voice and third party voice, let them say it rather than you as the vendor.
Yeah. So it's pretty amazing. Joe has this incredible website with lots of information and it's great resources about customer reviews. And the thing about customer reviews is when I talk to a lot of folks, whether it's here on the podcast or on the community site that we have or other places, the question is like, what should we do about reviews? How do we get started? What's the playbook for reviews? And I think it's interesting because if I was a sales rep right now, I'd be a little concerned because it's harder to sell because people are going to these review sites and really getting the insights into how to use the product, how to get started. And the review sites are doing even a better job about finding the personas of the people who are actually posting on them. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about you're interested in customer reviews, you're creating this information. What do you think are the kind of the big issues today and the big challenges in terms of customers, what customers are facing in terms of customer reviews?
Yeah, I think the way I think about it, and this is after working in it for 10 years and speaking to a bunch of folks before I started the website, B2B SaaS Reviews, I interviewed a bunch of folks. What were the big questions they were asking? And at the highest level, I think they all came down to three. So it was, why do reviews matter? Where should I get these reviews? Which sites essentially? And then how do I go about getting the reviews and then using them? All of my kind of work is focused on answering those big three. And where a lot of people naturally go is the third question, the how. But I think in terms of finding a way to make customer reviews work for you and your organization, if possible, that there is benefit to take it a step back, start with the why. Why would the company invest in it, not just about review counts or ratings, even just more broadly, like customer voice as part of your go-to-market strategy, and then unpack it from there. Because I think one thing I've found in interviewing some folks on this is it could be a pretty big or different picture, let's say, if there's buy-in to say set reviews as an OKR versus not. If it is, then you're probably can build a bigger, more cross-functional program. If not, it's going to have to be more bottoms up, a bit scrappy, and maybe it's even deprioritized. Maybe you have to kind of see if and when do reviews fit in. It's not a silver bullet or the thing that every company needs to do right now by any means. You would know much better than I, seeing all the customer marketing programs that you run. Customer reviews are one piece of the broader puzzle. So I think every customer marketer needs to think how would reviews fit into that bigger picture with customer marketing and customer voice as well.
So let's drill down into the why. So here I am talking to my CEO, and I think customer reviews are really important. Do you have a sense of what's going to motivate the C-level individuals in terms of getting resources or focusing on reviews? What is the why that, how do we answer that?
It's the question I'm still trying to answer. I think what seems to work better than just saying we need reviews is trying to take it as much to the revenue level as possible. So I think once you unpack the why in terms of why this is helping companies grow, I think that's where it starts to become more of a business priority. I think if you look at the way B2B purchases are made today and very quickly paint that picture at the high level that, you know, a lot of your buyers are going to be looking at these sites and that they're also are heavily influenced by us, then I think that's a good starting point. But then also I think, and this is with the demand gen lens, and it's probably seen differently with consumer marketing, demand gen lens is almost assessing, I would say, opportunity with the review sites to see if there's growth potential. So for me, if I join a company or I'm looking at a company that could invest in reviews, one of the first things I'd look at is the search results for their kind of main software key terms. So if it's best, insert their category name, software. If you see a review site at the top, which is common, it's not always the case, but it's common, that would likely elevate the importance to your business. And then I think from there, if you see G2, for example, at the top, G2 has a lot of, I'd say, compelling data on how many buyers are actually going to that category, how many are looking at your competitors, which I think gets a lot of C-suite attention. There's always competitive deals in the mix too. So to actually see the data, oh, wow, there's a lot of buyer potential here, a lot, and usually bigger numbers than what you're seeing directly. I find that helps. I think anytime it's a little bit more on the softer side about getting the customer voice to learn and improve the product, I think that part, it does matter and it does help, but I think it could be a little bit tougher than, and this is again, my experience being in demand gen, than trying to find the growth revenue lever.
Yeah, no, a lot of really good points there. The competitive aspect is really key. And not only what your competitors are doing, but also it's a great way to learn about competitors' products, right?
I spoke to Deb Basu about it, who runs an agency on really growth marketing today, came out of kind of SEO, PPC roots, but that's one of the main use cases that he's seen with his clients, kind of seeing the competitive intel, their users, their customers, they're saying about them. And in a way that could be used as competitive messaging too, which it's not one of the more common use cases, but I think it could be a pretty powerful one.
Yeah, another thing that comes to mind is innovation. A little side story here. I was working for Sony as a consultant, and they had this internet device that sat on your night table so you could surf the internet while you were in bed. I guess people do that today with their phones. So this was like just as the iPhone was starting out.
Yeah.
And they couldn't get a lot of market share for many reasons, probably because of that iPhone. People just start sleeping with their iPhones now. But yeah. So I actually went to Amazon. I started reading all the reviews for this product. And what I saw was that there was a persona, a segment of people, mainly women, who were using the device in the kitchen to look at recipes.
Mm.
Right. So,
yeah.
So we repositioned the whole product. Sony didn't really want to be in that business. We did it for a test and it had a direct impact on sales. So I think that's like another, there's competitive intelligence and then there's product innovation. And then you brought up going to looking at search engines, mainly probably Google. But I think when companies think about their organic strategy in terms of search, they don't often include reviews in that discussion. And I think that's really key as well, right? We think about, we have to take them directly to the party, but sometimes people's homepage is Google.
Yeah, I know. I think there's two things there. One, there seems to be a trend to move from the community is the new Google. I think there's a view that people are turning more and more to peer communities, at least in B2B, to try to get that info. I think the other is it could be typically reactionary response to, oh, we need to pay attention to review sites. So one story that comes to mind, I was speaking to a CMO who was chugging along with his organic and his PPC. And then one day Capterra, or a popular review site, caught wind of his category. Sure enough, they built a page, outranked him. And then in order, he saw his performance numbers drop, pipeline revenue, et cetera. So he basically had to respond. So all of a sudden Capterra became a priority. You have to generate reviews. You have to go bid on their site. There's a bit of arbitrage there. PPC cost goes up a bit. Sometimes it could be a bit of a reaction to the review sites responding to your category as well.
Yeah. No, good point. Good point. So now I'm in the trenches here and we're focusing on reviews. What are your recommendations about getting customers to write reviews? This comes up over and over in some of the communities I'm on.
It does. Yeah. I think there's probably many ways to go about doing that. I think one of the first questions is, who are you going to ask? And when it comes to that, there is the question of, do you ask everyone, or do you first do some sort of net promoter score and have this as a follow-up ask? I think once you decide who are you going to ask, then there's the question of how will you ask? You could do it directly, or you could do it through the review site. So the review site has the benefit of saving you time and effort. They can take your list and send the review requests. There's also an argument to be made that it's coming from the third party. So there, I guess, a little bit more objectivity there. Doing it internally, the nice thing there is you could typically have the ask come from someone who maybe owns that relationship and is more likely to get the response. Someone that you're working with and has that relationship established with the customer user. So I think those are at least the high level. That's how people seem to be going about it. And that's how I've gone about it.
Really good point about, you know, who internally, which one of your internal stakeholders own that relationship. I think a lot of companies, you know, mainly big companies that kind of stumble sometimes about like multiple groups contacting the same customer at the same time for different asks. And I'm still waiting for that cool feature in HubSpot CRM where it's just, you have to check in on who owns the customer, so to speak.
Yes. Yeah, me too. That would make it a lot easier. Today, a lot of it probably flows through customer marketers and maybe customer success as well. But yeah, that would make things a lot easier.
I know some of the keys and key for you is like being agnostic. Like, do you have any perspective on how these review sites are different?
I think I've reviewed 10 of them and thoroughly reviewed for that, trying to assess how they're different. In some ways, they're more similar than indifferent because so many of them started around the same time in 2012 and had a similar origin story, kind of being inspired by Yelp and what reviews did for the B2C space and taking that to the B2B space. So I think big ones tend to do it in a pretty similar way. Some of the main differences, I think G2 is kind of the quantity differentiator. So they've got up to about 1.8 million reviews on their site today, lead with that. Whereas you have a site like TrustRadius that really positions itself more so on the quality side, and PeerSpot, formerly IT Central Station, also goes for that as well. They talk about the length of the reviews being typically 400 words, which it tends to be longer than your typical review site. And then I think the other big three or four are the Gartner sites. So you've got Gartner Peer Insights, which is a newer site, but that's focused really on the enterprise buyer. Anyone who's in the selling to enterprise, that site's probably becoming more and more common because they're starting to almost bundle that in seemingly with other Gartner offerings and Magic Quadrants. And then they also have Gartner Digital Markets, which has three sites, Terra, GetApp, and Software Advice. And those all tend to have the same kind of PPC model where bid your way to the top of those. Where Software Advice is a little different, they focus a little bit more on kind of the buyer that wants a bit more handle. Yeah, they would essentially want someone or a buyer who wants to be guided and say, I'm looking into this category or I have this problem. Who should I look at? And Software Advice will do a phone consultation and say, here are the five vendors you should consider. Whereas Capterra tends to be a bit more of a lighter, but usually high ranking site just to get an initial sense for the buyer. And they click through and go to the vendors directly. So there's quite a mix. I think PeerSpot is that they're very focused on the IT market, cybersecurity and DevOps, and building a bit more of a community approach. And then outside of those, if anyone's B2C, then you've got Trustpilot and Google and Yelp, depending on your industry. So there's a wide range of sites, but that's, it's kind of the high level lay of the land.
And maybe this is a little similar to what I asked earlier, but another way of asking it. So here I am, a one person customer marketer, like on many of the customer marketers are one or two person show.
Yep.
What do I mean, you just named all these great sites. Like, how do I start? Where do I put my big toe in first and then decide?
Yeah, it's a great question. Yeah, I think it's a common one. And I think a starting point is doing a bit of your research and finding where do your buyers go today. Hmm. I think that Google research we talked about is one piece. But yep. Another is just talking to the folks internally that have those relationships. If you use a call recording software like Dawn or a Chorus, you could search to calls to see, are there any mentions of those sites? And then obviously just talk to sales reps too. CS, like, do you hear any of these sites come up more than for customer marketers? I think it's a great way to tap into customer advisory boards. If you had that one person customer marketer teams, perhaps don't have that luxury, but I think like the more you can do to tap into where do your buyers go, that can help assess which ones to focus on. And then once you find that out, if it's more than one, then that's a choice. Do you focus on one and kind of go all in and do your best there? Or do you hedge your bets and get a little bit on each? I think that could be just a different like viewpoint. I don't know if there's a right answer there, but it's a choice to be made. I do suspect a lot more people go for just the one to start and then more like a domino effect, one at a time. But yeah.
I hope they start with one because to try and spread your, I mean, for me personally, like start simple, MVP, you're going to learn a lot.
Yeah, totally.
Sort of thing. And then like in the companies I've worked at and where I am now, being able to tie those reviews to your CRM and your sales data and looking at attribution, right? And mm-hmm. So looking at those reviews and what role they play in generating sales, whether a lot of times you might have to get in the weeds here about just to weight that review in terms of overall touch points, which is more and more systems do that. But I think that's another key thing too, is keep, when you're looking at the metrics, number reviews, is try these days really tie attribution to it and tie what the revenue you're generating both in the short term and the longer term.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for the teams that have the luxury of buying the buyer intent from the review side. So I think that certainly helps. It can tie a lot of that review activity to revenue and pipeline.
So it's really interesting on your site, you interview a lot of people. And I'm just curious, when you've talked to practitioners and experts about reviews, what are some of the big insights that really stand out for you or some of the key lessons that you've learned from these practitioners?
I think one way to think about that is almost going function by function. So I've spoken to people in different roles and how reviews impact them. And the kind of the insight, it tends to be a little bit different for each. For example, I spoke with Leona Leung, a former colleague of mine from Fluidive, who's now VP of customer success over at Coconut Software. And we had a great chat, and the light bulb moment for her and it all was, what seems to be missing is like the strategy piece when it comes to reviews. Like with customer success, they're usually the ones that have the relationship, or they do have the relationship, and they're usually the ones that get asked out of the blue sometimes, hey, can you go get us some reviews? Mm-hmm. She said, it'd be great to kind of more insight into why is this a priority? How is it helping the business? How would it help with success? They have that kind of success lens. And I've heard another customer marketer say, like, if you can get it as an OKR at a company, that can elevate it to a higher level, and you can see it more as a cross-functional effort that matters in the business and gets people more into it rather than calling in a favor. That was an interesting insight from CS. I think another one was going back to dev on the search side, that you could, there is a way to also rank on those key search terms. So best insert category software, you basically are doing your best effort to also create a page that matches that intent. So if you're up for it, you're basically building out a page to say, here's us, and then here's the other options and our view of how we compare to them. Certainly not for everybody, but you know, that was interesting to think or hear that. I would have assumed if you can't beat them, join them, would have been my take with the review sites, that like, yeah, well, they're going to dominate search. So I'm going to just hitch hitch my cart to their wagon, but he would say yes. But someone in SEO once said, don't forget that there are 10 results on the first page. Maybe the first two or three are the review sites, but you know, you might be able to compete and still get on there. I think the last one was someone who we both spoke to, Sam Shepler over at Testimonial Hero. Again, they fit into a bigger picture when it comes to customer voice. And I think the more we got to talking, the more I realized that they really do go hand in hand. If you can get more people to share their voice through reviews, that could almost be your gate to see what are the best stories to bring to life with, in his world, video testimonial. So yeah, that was interesting to see how they can go hand in hand or together.
I actually think the video part is really interesting. I think for younger generations,
yeah,
TikTok and YouTube shorts, I think video reviews are just going to take off in the next few years. I mean, they're somewhat there on some of these sites, but I think it's just people, TikTok, Google feels threatened now by TikTok search, for example, right? It's really interesting what's going on. So I think these TikTok and places like that, video reviews are just going to become increasingly important.
Yeah, video is extremely important, I think. I think we're also in a world where people are seeing fake news and there's a question of authenticity and realness. So when I was talking to Sam again, he was saying, you know, with written testimonials, some people know that those are essentially, or they can be, vendor written and said, hey, can you approve this? Whereas the video review brings it to life again. You can see, are they speaking to it more genuinely? And on the review side, there's a writing AI tool called Jasper.ai.
Yeah, sure, I was going to bring it up. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't know if you saw, they have a beta function now where it could basically, it could give you a AI written testimonial, which I could see being used potentially for testimonials, reviews, and that could come with a whole host of issues and maybe opportunities to find ways to do things a little bit differently, I guess, and video is part of that.
Yeah, and that's a really good point. When you were talking, I was thinking of Jasper.
Yeah.
One of my old coworkers just went there. So yeah, so I think, but then you have the reviews will take place in the metaverse and there'll be robotic people talking about our products.
Yeah, so it's hard to imagine, but one day.
We're coming into different trends happening now. Are there any other kind of trends that you see happening in the review space?
Yeah, the two that I'm seeing are more and more buyers looking to those peer communities in addition to the review sites. So it's not quite forget the review sites, I'm going to go ask my peers. Some have that view, but I think it's seen as almost complimentary, where if you were to go to G2 and see a profile of 300 reviews, some are still turning to the peer site to say, has anyone used this? Would love like almost an offline chat. I think the other trend that I'm just starting to look in more is the rise in indirect buying and how that's leading to more purchases made on marketplaces. And these app marketplaces increasingly seem to have reviews as well. So I think that's something that today it's probably not thought of nearly as often as a customer or a software review site. But I think going forward for B2B SaaS companies in particular, if you're listed in Salesforce App Exchange or HubSpot App Marketplace, I think I could see there being a need to also start generating reviews there, not to scare the bejeebus out of everyone thinking, boy, I got a lot of reviews to go generate.
Those are really, really good points. I've always been interested in marketplaces. I used to work at, now in the previous century, no, this was in this century. I worked at a place called eToys. I don't know if people remember it. And we created a lot of marketplaces around used toys. And it was really interesting that, so just like other alternative marketplaces definitely have a place to play. You mentioned community part. Are you talking about the review sites having their own communities? Are you talking about like in other kind of communities around the internet that people are asking for product advice?
More peer communities outside of the review sites. I think for demand gen, it'd be the likes of Pavilion or Demand Curve, essentially people in your shoes. And they're certainly not purpose built for providing customer reviews. There's no written reviews there, but it's a way to interact one-on-one and group chats with folks like you. And I think, that's where I'm seeing it. On the review side, I think I've seen PeerSpot has some community functionality that they're building up. I wouldn't be surprised if there's more and more of that built up with the review sites, but yeah, I was referring more to the peer communities.
Got it. So how do you stay informed? What's your routine? I've looked at your site carefully. You and I have talked. You are processing a lot of information and you are doing a tremendous job in summarizing it in detail. So summarize in detail. Those words will go together in that sentence.
Yeah.
But you are summarizing it with like really good detailed information. So what's your routine in terms of how you keep informed of what's going on?
Yeah, I think I scour the internet. I do a lot of search. I can quite a deep dive into this topic. But in terms of staying up to date on it, I definitely follow the review sites. Get the list of the 10 in the B2B space on b2bsaasreviews.com. And aside from that, I mean, I do Google alerts, customer reviews, user reviews, and software review sites. That kind of gives me a weekly digest. And then following the vendors that play in this space. Definitely Infrolytics on the B2C side, at Podium, BirdEye. There's a bunch there that also talk about reviews, and there tends to be some overlap between B2B and B2C there. So those are the main folks. I think I wouldn't say there's necessarily a ton out there, but that's hence the Google scouring to try to find what I can find.
Yeah. Is there anything I haven't asked you today about reviews or about what you do that you sort of like, damn, Wilder, why didn't you ask?
No, I think we covered a lot of ground. I'm glad we got to testimonial and video testimonials and how video is going to play in, and I think third party buying and marketplace is increasing. I think that will play a role for customer marketers and folks thinking about views. No, I think that covers it on my end, but I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Well, the last question I like to ask is, can you name a person or a resource that's really influenced you in terms of your career?
I think for me, I mean, I guess full circle to the start of the conversation. I mean, my first job in FAST was Eloqua, and it was a formative experience. I think they were a well-oiled machine. They had quite the content engine and definitely hit on something. And at the time they were calling it digital body language. I worked for a few years before going into it in a front customer facing role. To me, that was kind of an eye opener that there was this digital world of technology that could empower go to market in this way. It was completely news to me. And I probably owe a debt of gratitude to Aaron Johnson, who took a bet on me. I had no tech experience. He hired me into the BDR team, trained me up, also elevated that role, and it made it more thoughtful, maybe less robotic than sometimes it can be approached. But yeah, I think Aaron and Eloqua are pretty formative for me.
That's great. Very familiar with Eloqua because I worked at Marketo. I don't know if people are familiar with Seinfeld, but Eloqua was our Newman.
Yeah. Likewise. Yeah. Jerry Newman dynamic there. I think so many vendors have that with some other vendor, but you know, looking back, I don't know if you think the same, but I think looking back, you realize that when you've got a competitor like that, you grow the market together and all boats lift up. I think it worked out pretty damn well for all for Marketo and Eloqua.
Yeah, no, exactly. Well, Joe, this has been great. I think there's a lot of great information, but a really key takeaway for me here is that there's only so many things that we can become knowledgeable or experts or experience in. And there's something called the T-shaped marketer. I don't know if you're familiar with it. On the horizontal part, you have all that like different types of marketing experience, but then the vertical part is you go deep or try and develop superpowers in certain areas. And it's great to see what you've done in the review area. And I think it's also a calling for others to say, you can become a cab expert. You can become a referral expert. Like, I think a lot of us are spread very thin right now, but I think companies need people who have that expertise in certain areas. So really what you've done with your career. Anything else you want to add before I sign off?
Just echoing that. I mean, I work at PartnerStack right now, and we just put out a guide on the T-shaped partner leader. And it's the same concept, going deep. And I think for anyone who hasn't that T-shape yet, I do think that there's lots of opportunity to kind of become a niche expert in some topic. For me in demand gen, and maybe for customer marketers, I think I've heard some people say we don't really need another agency or blog that talks of demand gen growth at a high level or across the board, like focus in on one thing. And for me, it's trying to get really good at this one particular thing is the way I'm thinking about it. Make sure you pick something you really like, because once you start digging, you keep going. And it's, yeah, certainly on a path once you're shaping that tea.
No, that's true. It's a really good point, because you can keep going deeper and deeper. And we talked about video, and just like, that's a whole new universe in the review world. So I get my metaphors mixed up. So it's a whole new world in the customer marketing universe.
There you go. Yeah, that makes sense. I'm with you.
So Joe, thank you again. I want to thank everybody for joining us at Customer Led Groove. You can look for us or listen for us on Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, and now Alexa. And you can also find us at the CLG campus, which is opening its doors in the fall of 2022. Thank you.
Thank you again for joining Customer Led Groove. Remember, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and on the CLG campus. Feel free to rate us, follow us, and leave a comment on any of those platforms. We hope to see you again soon when we're back in the Customer Led Groove.